was to correct your ways, to set apart a people who would demonstrate my holiness to all. Because you are the
this is by Yahweh's
design.
Now here's Pastor May.
I will help you do my will if you only answer when I
call. Welcome everybody to By Yahweh's Design. I am Pastor Dan, your host for this 1 hour live radio program coming to you via the Heritage Broadcasting System. We also come down through the satellites, C-band satellites, the internet. In some areas, fortunately, through the brave and courageous work of the FM rebroadcasters and through WRMI, Radio Miami International, shortwave frequency 7.385 megahertz. We ask our Heavenly Father Yahweh to bless each and every one of you. First and foremost, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was later surnamed Israel. For all good things come from him, and we wish to give him all the praise, glory, and honor for allowing us this opportunity to bring his truth to his holy remnant, the lost sheep of the house of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Aryan peoples of the earth. Hallelujah, Yahweh, all praise Yahweh in Hebrew. This is a 2C line, Racial Covenant Identity Ministry, and we've been studying this truth for some time, and we bring you whatever truth we can find, for today there is a famine for truth in our land. We encourage support, we encourage your comments, either through the snail mail, email, or by calling us in. Tonight's call-in number is area code 812-476-3026. Have your pens and pencils handy, folks. We got a ton of material to cover tonight, and I have two guests that we'll be introducing here shortly, so we're not going to be able to slow down very much at all. Before we get too much further, Charisse, would you read the poem you have for tonight?
Thank you, Pastor Dan. The title of the poem this evening is Be Ye Doers. Be ye doers of the word, go forth the sword in hand. For as our Father promised, we will possess this land. While sitting on your sofa, the beast is sucking out your brains. He is feeding off your life force through so-called music, movies, and video games. If you're waiting to be raptured, take another look. Nowhere will you find this word in his holy book. Knock the basket from off your head and allow your light to shine, for you are a child of light, elegant and refined. Break the chains of bondage, which the devil's own have forged. Seek vengeance for the innocent, on which they savagely have gorged. Be ye doers of the word, go forth with sword in hand. For as our Father promised, we will possess this land. Thank you very much, Pastor Dan.
Thank you. And as you might have guessed, tonight's program is entitled, Be Ye Doers Also. And I'll have the scriptural reference for this in just a second. Again, we encourage support, folks. We need your help. This is not something we can do by ourselves and do cheaply. It costs us money to put this podcast out, and we ask for help for Pastor Bob on Monday, Pastor Wickstrom Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we could use the help also. You can write to By Yahweh's Design at P.O. Box 436, that's 436, Stevensville, Michigan, 49127. And we encourage supporting of Heritage Broadcasting System, and you can contact them at P.O. Box 5583, Evansville, Indiana, 47716. And again, be ye doers also of the word. If you go to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19 through 25, this you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers, who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. A second witness to that can be found in Romans 2:11-13. We're not going to go there for now. The Greek word that the word doers is from is poietes, and it means a maker, producer, or author, a doer or performer. It's somebody who is doing something active. And the reason I picked that title is because of my guest tonight. The first guest that I wanted to bring on is Mr. Martin Lindstedt from the Republic of Missouri. He's the Reform Party candidate for the United States Senate there. And right after Martin speaks with us for a short bit, we're going to have Richard Masker of the Republic of Idaho, who runs the International Conspiratology Association, and he's also a candidate for state government there. Both of these fine men are doers of the word and not just hearers. They're our Christian Israel brothers, and we're going to find out what's been happening in their lives since they've decided to run and try to make a change for the betterment here in our God-forsaken America. Has Martin called in yet?
Yes, sir, he has.
Oh, okay. Martin Lindstedt, welcome to the program, and if you would, just kind of introduce yourself to the folks.
My name is Martin Lindstedt, and I'm fairly well-known among resistance circles. I've been around for a while. But this year, I'm running for United States Senator on the Reform Party ticket.
And how's that going? I believe I saw some literature that had come across my desk there that the local media hasn't been treating you too well.
Well, one expects that the local media is going to treat you atrociously, but you got to understand that there is no such thing as bad publicity. In fact, the publicity has been pretty well the way I want it, because I knew that I'd be demonized for being pro-white and wanting to end immigration to this country, illegal non-white immigration to this country on behalf of the New World Order, and I expected to be demonized. But what happens is that publicity tells my supporters, exactly what I stand for, and since I stand for so much that is against what all the other politicians stand for, I think that's going to benefit me in the primary election to be held on August 8th of this year.
So that's on August 8th?
August 8th, Tuesday.
Okay. Now, if you could, do you have some way folks can get a hold of you if they want to help you either with a donation or maybe be willing to make phone calls or knock on doors for you or whatever?
Okay. Generally, I do quite a bit of internet campaigning. I have quite a large internet page called Patrick Henry Online. It's been online since February 1996, and its web address is http://www.mo-net.com/, which is a number above the one on the keyboard, MLINDSTE. And if you want to go ahead and look on the search engine, look under Lindstedt. That's a rather somewhat uncommon name of Swedish origin, and in many cases, it'll usually pop up with my name being among the first couple of entries.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And then from there, I have quite a few other web pages and allies and links, and I can be found, it goes ahead to my campaign, this latest campaign site. So that's pretty well the way you can get in touch with me. And I also have email, which is MLINDSTE@JSCOMM.net.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd like to know real quick, maybe the listeners would too, how did you get linked up with the Reform Party, and what made you decide to go ahead and take a run for the U.S. Senate?
Well, what happens is that I've been advocating on behalf of the military arm of the resistance, a policy, noted to Lewis Beam, called leaderless resistance. And I believe that the military arm of the resistance should have small, undetectable cells and lone wolves acting in the military interest of the resistance, a white Christian or Christian Israelite resistance. But on the other hand, we also need a political wing as well. And what happens is that what we do is you run gifted or ambitious candidates for office to go ahead and speak pretty well on behalf of the whites here. And I was going to run for United States Senator, but I was kicked out of the Libertarian Party for my resistance to gay marriage and a number of other things. In 1997 and 1998, I ran a grudge match as a United States senatorial candidate, and I lost. I lost by about 500 to 600 votes in a very short, small primary. I was going to run as a conservative, and then Pat Buchanan said that he was going to go ahead and run as a Reform Party candidate, and he said he was for ending illegal immigration to this country, and that is pretty well my number one issue, so I decided to run as a Reform Party candidate as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what ended up happening is that generally there's two factions in the Reform Party, and I call them one Dallas faction for robot feed. And what happens is they are mad at Pat Buchanan, and they're trying to steal the nomination away from him. And to steal the nomination from him, they're just making up all sorts of rules. Well, Missouri has its own little faction, and I got a letter registered today that they were going to disassociate themselves from me for my racial views, and they wanted me to become an independent or something like that. But, they just did behind my back, and they can't do anything about it. And pretty well what happens is that the Kansas City Star and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, all major newspapers in the state of Missouri, and the Riverfront Times, which is a liberal tabloid, they wrote a number of stories about me, saying that because I was against, white America being swamped with illegal immigrants, that I was a racist of some sort or another, and please don't vote for him. So pretty well they're having a cow, but all they're doing is they're just telling pretty well my supporters, the people who are concerned. I mean, the people who live in small towns like where I live, which are being deluged by all these type of workers coming into the state. And in many cases, there's more Mexicans in some towns than there are the actual white natives who live there. And people are getting concerned.
Well, that's happening everywhere, even up here in the north. I just heard today, I got a mail from the mail that California, as of now, is officially minority European-American. The reason that it doesn't show up in some areas is because they're counting Jews, they're counting North Africans, they're counting Hispanics as white, and which is ludicrous, but that's why we refer to ourselves as European-Americans now, because these lying serpents in the media have played with the figures, and now they're lumping so many people in there to try to keep it looking like we're not being outbred and inundated with this immigration problem, when in reality, California, as of today, is officially minority. European-Americans who settled this land are now in the minority in the state of California.
Well, they said it would happen this year, and they say it's going to happen within the next few years in Texas, Arizona, and Florida.
Well, I can believe it.
And what happens if you look at what the Republican Party did? They got rid. I mean, I've looked at the Reform Party news, and Pat Buchanan's flack has pretty well said the Republican Party has done away with its 1996 anti-immigrant platform, and now they go ahead and openly say that they're for, quote, open borders.
Well, sooner or later, the European American people in this country are either going to have to wake up and get their heads out of their rectums, or they're going to go down in flames. I mean, that's basically the bottom line here.
Yeah.
Martin, let me ask you a question. This is I'm catching you off guard with this. Are you going to be able to stay on the line with us for the whole hour?
I could. I went ahead and bought a brand new telephone card.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask is I'd like to bring Richard in and let him tell what's happening with his, and then for the rest of the hour, we could go back and forth with both of your guys' situation.
Yes. Me and Mr. Master have one thing in common, that we've both been denounced by Pat Buchanan as being racist.
Well, in some people's books, that's a good thing. So... all right. Well, if you can hang on, then let me bring Richard into our conversation. We'll just have a three-way going here. Richard, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, excellent. Okay, folks. My second guest tonight is Richard Masker. Again, he's with the International Conspiratological Association out of the Republic of Idaho, and I like to refer to him as a deprogrammer for the police, and a very good one from what I understand. And you've also decided to run for state government. What office?
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say just a quickie here. All you folks out there in radio land, I want you to have as much appreciation for Pastor Dan as I do. I'd like you to send him some money and contributions. He's doing a tremendous service to everyone in this country. Secondly, I really enjoyed the poem that was given. And Martin Lindstedt, it's nice to have you on the air tonight and talk with you and get to know you. I really feel close to what you're doing because what I've heard so far is the very same type of treatment I'm having with the Reform Party. Now, to Pastor Dan's question, is there a backlash? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm running for state representative in District 4 for North Idaho. And I guess... you probably asked, would like to know how I signed up for that. Well, basically, I wanted to see, my first inclination was that there's no way that a white Gentile American can run for office in this country and be completely honest and win anything. That was my first objective. I was going to go into this thing as a conspiratologist and as a citizen of North Idaho and be absolutely honest and truthful and assertive in every way. And, this is basically what happened to me, and I think, Martin, you'll be able to really get a charge out of this one. I got on the Internet, and I read the Reform Party website, what they represented, and I thought, well, it sounds pretty good. There's nothing in there about racial or the white rights or immigration to any great extent. So I thought, well, I'll just give them a call and see if I can volunteer or something nifty. So I called up, and I got in touch with the main man down in Boise. His name was Gary Allen. I don't know if he's related to the Gary Allen that wrote the None Dare Call It Conspiracy, who was a Jew that died not long ago. Anyway, I talked with him for a few minutes, and boy, he was foaming at the mouth. He wanted me on the ticket right now. And so I said, well, I just want to, you know, send out stuff, mailers or folders or whatever, if I can volunteer for service to help you good folks. And the next thing I knew, he had me signed up for state representative for District 4 right here in Idaho. And so there was several people in the area that were on the Reform Party ticket. So I thought, well, if, you know, they want to sign me up and pay the bill and do whatever they need to, I'll be happy to go along with them. And I basically shared some of my basic beliefs and that coincided with the Reform Party. And so I didn't go into any detail. I wasn't asked to go into any detail. I was simply asked to give the information that they requested. Now, you listeners out there, and I'm going to be critical here, I want you to envision in your mind a 49 Ford flatbed pickup running around in the alleys and backways of Boise, Idaho, at, you know, in the nighttime, and they're driving down the street and they see this white, blue-eyed, blonde-haired Aryan guy drunk and in the gutter. They drive up to this guy and they say, hey, buddy, here's a $10 bill and a bottle of gin. Do you want a job now? That's basically the impression that I got. That's how they just rushed me right into a state office. They didn't care about anything else. So as it turned out, time went by, and I was asked by the media to provide a press release. And so in the good spirit of truth and being honest and up and forward, this was my press release, and I think you'll enjoy this. This was my concussion grenade to the media. Campaign statement for Richard F. Master, Reform Party, Idaho State Representative, 4th District, April 30th, 2000, which was my wife's birthday, so I thought that was apropos. Here we go. Most Americans are not history and social science scholars. They are not able to recognize the enormous racial genocide and cultural revolution that threatens their people and their nation under the title of, quote, the New World Order, unquote. America is facing destruction from the forces of Judeo-Marxist subversion. Jewish world communism is not dead and never has been. It simply changes its name and appearance and continues under the guise of global democracy. This enormous subversive power is planning genocide and slavery against its ultimate racial enemy, the white race, and the minions of multiracial supporters who cherish freedom and liberty. This neo-Bolshevism has collectivized the power of the news and the entertainment media to modify the behaviors of entire nations under massive social engineering and brainwashing to bring about a global one-world government. Now, this is the paragraph that really nailed them. I believe that politicians possess the power of life and death over their constituents. In this nation, their stewardship of responsibility should come with an oath of office that places them under pain of death if it can be demonstrated that they have willfully acted in opposition, in fact or in spirit, to their position of oath and trust in safeguarding the securities of the people who have elected them to public service positions. Today, treason governs America, and this godless tyranny of ruthless hate must be smashed. The people need to be awakened to the threat. They must be allowed to discover the danger and confront the enemy that has worked with great diligence to destroy them and the future generations of their kind. We need a new generation leader with the courage to awaken the people of Idaho. This is why I am a candidate for the position of Idaho State Representative for District 4 in the state of Idaho. Help me to help you take America back. Richard Master.
Excellent.
So consequently,
I don't know where it came from, but I sent this out to all the newspapers, all the police departments, the FBI, all the radio and TV stations, because I wanted to be very clear about where I stood. So several months went by, and I haven't heard a single thing, and then I discovered that there was a voter's pamphlet that was printed in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and it had all the people who were running for the election in there, and sure enough, they went and printed my press release, except the paragraph on the death oath. You see, that's a very naughty thing, boys and girls, because if the Jews are controlling this system, and they're a bunch of genetic liars and an international race of psychopathic killers and the pathetic liars, a death oath would free this country immediately.
Yes,
think
it
about
would.
It.
Yes, it was.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, in the election pamphlet, that was not there. But then time went by, and there's been nothing in the paper about me. I am still in the election for November for the state representative position. I will be running against a Democrat and a Republican. And remember, I knew that I would never be allowed to be elected to a position like this, so I'm just playing the situation as best I can and using the Reform Party as a springboard for this opportunity. So just the other day, I found out that someplace, somebody said, and I can't find it anywhere, I have no idea where this is at, but there's supposedly a website that denounced me as a racist and a hate monger and a neo-Nazi, and I've been charged now, I've been receiving hate mail from people in the Reform Party. And they're saying that I am not honest. I am an anti-Semite. I'm a white supremacist. And I engage in, oh, I'm so naughty, boys and girls, I engage in racial slurs.
Uh-huh.
I'm also a racist. Positions are part of my platform, and I am not fit for representative of the Reform Party.
Richard, okay? we gotta take a short break here. So
okay.
Martin and Richard, I'm gonna ask if you would just stay on the line, and everybody just stay tuned, and we'll have about a 2 minute break here, and then we'll continue on.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Are you on, Pastor Dan?
Well, welcome back, everybody. Again, this is By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan. Tonight's program, we've entitled it, Be Ye Doers Also. And scripturally, you can go to James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25, and in Romans chapter 2, 11 through 13, and you'll see where Yahweh tells us, but the doers of the law will be justified, and an effective doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. And I am very, very honored tonight to have two doers of the word, guys that are willing to get out there and do something, unlike so many people. My first guest is Martin Lindstedt, and he's running for the United States Senate for the Reform Party in out of the Republic of Missouri. And my second guest is Richard Masker, who's up in the great state of Idaho, and he's running for state representative in District 4. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And again, I do take my hat off and salute both of you, because if we could just get even 10% of those who call themselves Christian or Christian Israel to get involved and even do a portion of what you guys are doing, this would be all over tomorow. And I really salute you what you're doing. So I guess we'll start with Martin, if he'd like to fill us in a little bit more about his campaign there, and then we'll pick up again with you, Richard.
Okay.
Unlike Richard, Missouri isn't quite as racially conscious, but it's becoming more and more racially conscious due to the influx of Mexicans and other Hispanics coming in as a result of being brought in initially by the poultry plant. And Tyson knows about 90%. I live in Southwest Missouri. I live two counties away from the world headquarters of Tyson Poultry and Walmart, J.D. Hunt, and all these here big companies with New World Order, and they're importing all these Mexicans. Now, unlike Richard, I was not recruited for the Reform Party, but what I did is I looked at the political reality of what's going on. And in Missouri, there's a tight race between a Republican incumbent and a Democrat named, governor, the governor of the state now, named Mel Carnahan. And what happens is that it's a very tight race. I figured out that what I do is I tell the rural, white, working class, white Christian Americans in Missouri, I tell them how the Republicans are just pretending to be in favor of them while they're actually importing all these illegal aliens to destroy them. And what happens in 1998, Republicans John Ashcroft and Kit Bond voted to import more and more agricultural workers under the 2-H program. And in any case, they're just bringing all these people in. And the Republicans, they just recently got rid of their anti-immigration platform, so they just want to bring all these Mexicans in. So if you're voting for Republican, you're voting really for someone who's going to go ahead and vote to swamp you pretty well under all these illegal immigrants here. And, this is a tight race. I figured out that if I went ahead and destroyed Ashcroft's base, or at least ate out 5 or 10% of it, Carnahan would get in office, and the Republicans would have no choice other than to either become the White People's Party again, like they pretend to in the South here,
mm-hmm.
or they would just become extinct, and the Reform Party would end up winning. Now, in the case of, I pretty well went to this Founders Day thing in Kansas City, and they had about maybe 5 pro-robots left here out of Missouri used to have quite a few of them, but there's left less than five. And I debated my opponent, who happens to be named Hugh Foley, and I call him Hugh World Order, because Hugh World Order Foley, you know, he goes ahead and he admits on his campaign material that he's a retired international bankster. And that did not go over very well with the Collins people. Charles Collins was running for president, but the Swamp Party won't let him, you know, let him run.
Oh.
In any case, that didn't go very well, but they had a cow about me say, hey, I want to end illegal immigration like Pat Buchanan says he wants to get rid of illegal immigration. And what happens, they went ahead and they talked to their head, you know, a guy named Russell J. Verney, and I have a letter that I got today from an anonymous source. And on June 23rd, he pretty well said that I've enclosed printouts from worldwide websites expressing the personal views of two candidates, Martin Lindstedt, a candidate in the August Missouri primary election for the United States Senator, and Richard Masker, a candidate for the general election of the Swamp Party ballot. And then their little space alien, New World Order, Transcendental Natural Law Party, New Age Thieb, John Hagelin, he went ahead and immediately put on his webpage a newsflash saying that, you know, naming both me, myself and Mr. Master as running on a white Aryan Christian supremacist platform. And what happens is that Verney got the thing going, and 3 days later, on June 27th, Pat Buchanan went ahead, and I don't think he mentioned Mr. Master by name, but, you know, I think he mentioned him there. And he pretty well denounced myself and said that if I win the primary, I will gladly stand beside the primary chair and renounce him and his support in the fall. So I think that is, in large part, what brought brought about this here problem with the Reform Party has with myself and Mr. Master.
Martin,
we went ahead and we believed what Pat Buchanan had to say, and you know, he just turned on us.
Martin.
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I've got a question for you. See if they did the same thing to you that they did to me. On one of the hate letters that I got from an official from the Reform Party, it says here, we are a party of inclusion, and someone espousing your views is not a fit representative of the party. By this letter, I request that the state board authorize an endorsement election in your race, and I will advocate that the party membership endorse your opponent. In other words, they're going to try to recall me or get me off the ballot before November. Are they going to do the same thing with you?
Well, they can't. I have a number of lawsuits, and one is actually in the federal law books. It's called Lindstedt versus Missouri Libertarian Party, 160 Federal 3rd, 1197 to 1199. And the Eighth Circuit overdid the 1974 ruling to where they said that indigent candidates, you know, had a right to run for public office. What happens is that they don't dare do anything to me because they know that I'll commence a lawsuit against them.
Aren't you a naughty person?
And I'll commence Title 42 against them, so they ain't going to go ahead and dare cross that particular line.
Very good. I have something here from one of your email that you sent out, and I'd like you to clarify it for me, if you would, please.
Sure.
You say here, I wish to take the point that the evil empire has gotten so anti-white that it now pays for resistance assault politicians like myself to be openly against all elements of the New World Order, especially the swarm of non-white immigrants pouring into the country. Can you kind of put that in better English?
Well, generally, when people say, well, are you a politician? I say, yes, but I'm a resistance assault politician. And pretty well what I do is I make politicians, you know, I mean, they like pretending that they're for us, especially the Republicans,
right.
But they're not. What they're doing is they're plotting behind our back, just like this guy I'm really gunning for, John Ashcroft, the Republican incumbent. He says how much he's for whites here, but what he does is he goes ahead and he passes bills like in 1998 transporting billions more of Mexican immigrants right across into our borders. And what happens is that when it comes down to it, all these people are perfectly happy with the New World Order, you know, making a big old plantation to pretty well, you know, destroy our country, destroy us as a people and as a race altogether.
Well,
here.
Did you by any chance happen to watch the Republican convention yesterday?
I seen parts of it, and I was pretty well disgusted, mad. So
oh,
when I get real mad,
okay.
I generally go ahead and read the transcript because I don't want to see them.
Yeah, well, that kind of goes along with what I was saying. I'll be very truthful to you. I want your audience to understand the apathy and complacency that was just bulging out there. That convention was absolutely sick. We've had Henry Kissinger, the blood butcher of Vietnam, sitting on the front row there applauding to the people.
True.
Georgie Bush was, belching his propaganda slogans. And the people just resembled a load of harbor seals flapping away on cue. I've never seen such an assembly of white, blue-eyed, good genetic, trained apes in my life. It was appalled. I hope your listeners understand that this conspiracy using the media has such a profound effect on our people. It's sick. It's a criminal act well beyond the imagination of the average human being. And that was a pathetic experience yesterday at the convention.
It goes along with what the Messiah said when he was here. Yahweh was here in a flesh body known as Yeshua, or Jesus the Christ. He told us to beware of these guys. In John chapter 8, he called them the vipers, hypocrites, and thieves, and murderers. And basically, if you want to paraphrase what he said, is if their lips are moving, they're lying. Lying is their language. And it goes all the way back to Cain and the garden. And these people, it's in their blood. I think they would probably fall over with a heart attack if they were forced to tell the truth. And the problem is, most of our people are so entrenched with indoctrination through the public fool system and gorging themselves on media like TV and movies and MTV, they have lost the capacity of free thinking.
Well, Pastor Dan, let me mention this. My observation was very distinct. I was very heart-sickened last night when I was watching this. I saw the beauty of our race there applauding these diabolical creatures. And one thing that a conspiratologist virtually never does, and that is quote scripture, but certain things went through my mind as I was watching this spectacle, and something came to me very vividly, and that is that there is a scripture that says, and in that day, even the very elect would be deceived. And in those days they will draw unto themselves those with itching ears, and they will lead them very gently down to hell.
Yep.
That's what we witnessed last night.
Yep. And also Revelations mentions the image of the beast, and that's television. That's your film industry and television. It's the media,
right.
The favorite media of the beast, because the eyes are the windows of your soul. And what goes through your eyes, that's why he said to be very careful with what you allow to go through your eyes, what you witness, and what you allow to affect you, because we believe so much of what we see, and especially today, because we haven't been trained to question what we see. We're just told to accept it. And we have lost that. We were told to be on guard of the image of the beast. And I'm convinced that the one-eyed monster, the Talmud vision, as many people refer to it, is definitely that beast, because it's just sickening. As you said, that's why I have turned the television off over a year and a half ago and it hasn't been back on. I can't stomach it. It's sickening.
Can I take a second here to relate a story that happened 2 weeks ago here in town?
Sure.
Most of you out there in Radio Land have seen the movie or stage plays called The Music Man, and that's where Professor Hill comes to town and he sells the musical instruments. He's a con man, but he falls in love and he stays around and so forth. And they're at River City, and he's starting a band up. And in the movie, or in the play, in the stage play, there's a young man. I might add also that this is a totally white production. And there's a young man from the lower side of the tracks who gets infatuated with the mayor's daughter. And so he's secretly meeting with her, and he's kissing her, and he's hugging her, and he's dancing with her, and he meets her under the bridge, and he meets her in the library, and they have quite a little romantic thing going here, and everything's above board and very, very fine. And then we have the River City in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, just last week, totally destroyed the Music Man by making it more politically correct. And I want you people to really put your ears on and get a slug of this, because this, it made my wife and I absolutely nauseous. They took the little boy from below the tracks and they made him into a black boy. And I'm going to say nigger. Now, if you hear that popping noise and that buzzing sound, that means that the ADL and the FBI's intelligence system, their circuits are busting and their monitors are popping right now. Because that's exactly what's happening. They had this little black boy running after this beautiful blonde blue-eyed girl in the movie, and they were producing this pro-misogynistic, anti-white, pro-genocidal, anti-white Marxist Zionist propaganda, and the white people in the audience were talking about 1,300 people in the auditorium for four different occasions, just sat there and did and said nothing. It was absolutely outrageous. And that's exactly what Pastor Dan is talking about. We need to be action-oriented. Do something. Because it goes on and on and on. I think my wife and I were the only ones that raised hell in Coeur d'Alene this last week. We called the people, the people, it was the summer theater program, they had an advertising booklet. We called the advertisers and really racked them over the coals not to support this organization. And we let them know that this kind of anti-white propaganda miscegenation message is not socially acceptable because it is a plot against the people. It is not just a natural thing. And as I have talked to you before on these programs, I've told you that when you deprogram people, let them know that they are being criminalized. This is a criminal act. It's a fraudulent attack against you, and there is no statutes of limitation on fraud. People today believe that all of this anti-white and this pro-minority and everything else is just a natural part of social growth and progression. You've got to be allowed to know that this is a crime against humanity. So, enough preaching. Thank you.
Richard, are you facing any primary opposition?
No, I'm not. Because
you should be there until November.
No, not till November. I should be on the big ballot.
Oh, in November?
In November.
Okay. Myself, I'm facing competition with... I guess this one guy who doesn't even bother to campaign, so I don't even bother with him, but
generally
I'm facing New World Order. And
you haven't had your primary yet.
No, it's on August. It's on August 8th.
That's right,
Tuesday,
okay.
It's Tuesday. And New World Order, I mean, in addition to being an international banker, he wrote an awful book to where this idiot just say that he's for the New World Order. But more to the point here, what he does is he goes ahead on page 92, he writes that what Americans need is they need another tax, they need a value-added tax, and he sort of says, well, maybe we'll do away with the IRS. But then if you go look on page 127, a family of four making $24,000 still has to file, in addition to everything else, a value-added tax. They not only have a big old consumption tax, they still have to pay $20 and file an income tax as well.
Uh-huh.
That's so that I mean, Hugh Willoner used to be an international bankster and businessman, and the Collins supporters, they didn't really much care for it. He was trying to, you know, protect the Federal Reserve.
Sure.
So, pretty well, I'm glad that the newspapers did pretty much of a hatchet job on me, because there's no such thing as bad publicity, and I'm hoping that in the privacy of the voting booth, people, you know, especially rural whites, will go ahead and, you know, in privacy, you know, there won't be anybody to tell them that they can't do that. So go ahead and vote for me, and I'll win the primary, and then I can pretty well finish off Ashcroft. And
best of luck to you.
Huh?
Best of luck to you. I hope you win. I haven't had any propaganda or newspaper coverage anywhere up here in Idaho. They have completely silenced the press in regards to me. Everything that's come out about me has come out in some eastern paper or some place obscure. I don't even know where these places are. And I have no website. I have no political website, and they're all saying that all this racism that I'm publishing is on my website, and I don't have a website.
Well, maybe you and me get in conjunction and pretty well, you know, help each other out on that regard. I got about five or six of them thing. I'd also like to make a plug for the other guy who's running on the slate for governor of Missouri, Dr. Joseph Keller, and he pretty well believes the same things I do. It's just he's not as outspoken as I am. So,
how can people get a hold of you, Richard, if they want to help you out?
Well, they can call me in on my email address. That's conspiratology@hotmail.com.
Okay, very good.
If they can spell it.
Well, we'll make it a challenge.
Okay, conspiratology.
The thing that I'm hearing here, it just amazes me, is that there's so many people still out there thinking that this is a free speech and a freedom-based liberty-type nation.
And yet,
when you hear what you guys are being put through, but it's like everything. Anybody who makes anything, any proclamation today of anything related to European heritage and culture and Christianity, and especially if it's a combination, if you're a European-American Christian, and then on top of that, if you're male, this entire system, I just call it the beast, the system,
right,
is out to crush you. But one thing that the enemy had better watch out for, because that is when you push down on our people, that's when they tend to rise up. And I'm going to give you a little bit of synopsis here of what's been going on in my circles of associates, etc. What I have noticed over the last 2 to 3 months is that many of our people are literally fed up.
That's
now, they
right.
may not be extremely outspoken outside the circle of friends yet,
they've
but
sensitized.
They are sick. I'll put it in the words of what people have told me lately. They are sick of the media because it is nothing but lies and distortions. They are sick of government and their lies and distortions and their taxes and their endless wars. They have even mentioned the J word lately. They are sick of what these Jews are, because what these people have started to do is go to websites and read the mail, and they're listening to outspoken Christian Israelites all across this land who are informing them of who these people really are. And guess what? When they do a little research, they find out it's true. And then, once people get the blinders taken off and they find out who these people are, then every time they lambast good men like you, that just puts another arrow in our quiver, because they've just reinforced everything we've been telling everybody about them.
Well, let me say this. I think it might be a positive element here. My wife and I, as we walk around town, we go to restaurants, we go to gas stations, we meet people in the grocery store. I tell them, I walk up to a perfect stranger and I say, listen, I'd like to ask you a question. You look like a teenager. I'm a political researcher. Do you believe that there's a conspiracy behind our government that is not visual? And I do things like that all the time, and I'm finding more and more people who are fed up with the racial aspect of it and really do fear the government. So be bold, be assertive, stand up and tell it the way it is, and see what you can do in getting some people together who will help you in this struggle. And remember, right now, the field is all white and ready to harvest.
Absolutely.
So stick with the program, folks.
Absolutely. And as the scripture we read earlier says, Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, isn't going to bless you if you're not a doer. Both of those chapters in the book says that the doer of the law is who is saved. Now, you got to remember, the Greek word for being saved had nothing to do with this idiotic thing where you go up to the altar and you say a prayer and you get all emotional and you get this little feeling. That's not what it's talking about. The word that is used is referring to a physical salvation from pain, death, destruction, and it means that if you aren't aware of who your enemy is and what they're planning to do to you, you're going to perish. And these people that think they can go to church 1 hour on Sunday and throw some money into that prostitute's plate and that they're a Christian, they are just deluded beyond belief. And that's why I salute you men, because you're doers. And Yahweh says, I'm going to bless the doers. So you guys should be entitled to a big blessing in my book.
You were mentioning the spiritual aspect of it. I don't know if you saw the convention yesterday, with Bush went into his very moral aspect of his speech, and Henry Kissinger was down applauding him. And then the camera scanned the audience, and the women were wiping the tears from their face. Oh, man. And another aspect, remember that Bush, his family, is a race-mixing, miscegenation, race-treasonous. Remember, every time that something comes up about George Walker Bush, the next thing we see is the governor of Idaho's son, whatever his name is, Jesus Pasquale Gomez Bush. You see a big spiel about him. And so this is all totally politically correct, and it's just disgusting.
Certainly. They hate anything that's godly, and God commanded segregation. God commanded racial purity. God commanded his children to be in authority and not strangers, and we've violated every one of those rules. Read Deuteronomy 28 and 29, the blessings and the cursings. Every curse mentioned in that book of Deuteronomy we have on us today because, as it says in Hosea, if you won't obey my commandments, I will forget you and your children. And we're in severe disobedience in this land. Gentlemen, we got about a minute and a half. Martin, would you like a last minute say something here, guys?
Well, generally, if you're pro-working class white America in Missouri, vote the top of the Reform Party ballot. You know, I mean, myself and Dr. Keller are on the top of the ballot, and vote for us, and good luck to you, Richard, too.
All right. Well, thanks for being a guest, Martin, and maybe we can get back together again in the future.
Thank you.
Yahweh bless. Richard, your turn, guy.
Well, I just want to say to Martin, it was nice to talk with you. We've talked on email, but we've never got together like this, and so I appreciate your comments tonight and being on the air, and I appreciate you, Pastor Dan, for all the good works that you do. And having people like us on your program, I think it's wonderful that we have this opportunity.
Well, we give Yahweh, our Father, the credit there, and I thank you for being on. Yahweh bless you both. And ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. So next week, by His will, we'll be back, same time, same station. And remember, Heritage Podcasting, we need your support, folks. Take care, and Yahweh bless.
On to this time, the words that have been written there still keep us.
Galaxies.